Beyond Basketball Podcast, the Big Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper, Matt Moore. You are playing tonight. You're active. Your knee is fine. What's going on?
That's a Tony Bennett reporting.
Sure.
There's an equally ridiculous. Chad Kroger of Nickelback is reporting that I'm going to play tonight.
Green Day has the inside source on you playing.
I like Green Day so much. I know I shouldn't. I just do. I really love that band.
Green Day and Salt-N-Pepa. First two CDs I ever owned.
So,
that's
sad. Salt-N-Pepa. Oh, such a... Oh, miss you, 90s. So a notable hip-hop artist reported yesterday that Rose
Well, technically notable. I couldn't name one Waka Flocka Flame song. And I love rap. I love hip-hop. He's garbage.
I'm really glad that you said it because I try and be in the know. I try and be up with the kids. I try to know both the hip and the hop. I of course, heard the name reference, but it was one where I've never actually heard his name spoken.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it was Waka or Waka, and I was like, uh-oh.
In a year, it won't matter.
Apparently, Wikipedia says that his best singles are Oh, Let's Do It, Hard in the Paint.
Oh, I know Hard in the Paint. Okay, I guess I do know a song.
And No Hands, which I assume is a Joel Anthony did.
All he does is rap about the Bulls and the Heat. He said Derrick Rose was playing tonight.
The Rob Lowe moment of...
Right.
Of NBA. There really is like a one-to-one translation. Like, Rob Lowe is too...
I mean, that's kind of rude to Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe has a career. He's had a career.
I have a Rob Lowe biography on my desk. My wife bought it for me as like a joke.
She was like,
you're trying to read more. She was like, so I got you Rob Lowe's biography.
I bet he's actually really interesting.
I'm a big West Wing-ophile, so I love everything. Like, I'll just read for that alone.
Still have never seen the show.
Of course you haven't. And don't. I think you'd be insanely bored by it. Even having those sleeping problems, that would actually solve it for you.
Okay. I'll fire it up on Netflix tonight.
Because it's all just them walking around talking. That's all that happens. There's nothing else that occurs. So, so he reported that Derrick Rose would play. Bulls practice, there are mixed reports. There's one that says that he's out, and there's one that says he's a game-time decision, but unlikely to play. Apparently a one-on-one, a video of him playing one-on-one kind of surfaced. And Vlade Radmanovic was checking him pretty effectively, so I'd say he's not healthy.
That's got to be a setup.
I still wonder if he's going to play. I'm making sure I'm getting back before availability tonight so that I can be around in case they sneak that in. Because I think that's how it's going to be. It's just going to have to be one of those surprise,
Yeah, It would probably be after Thibodeau's media scrum. Like, it would just leak out. Like, oh, by the way, 45 minutes before the game, Rose will play tonight.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it's worth it. I really don't. Like, I know the streak is on the line, and I know that this is supposed to be a big game for Chicago. Like, is Noah playing?
He's trending towards playing.
Because if Noah isn't playing, it makes no sense for Rose to play.
I'm also just LeBron is not a guy I want you trying to go against your first game out, and they're going to check him.
That's the thing. Like, the Bulls were here in town on Sunday, and I was wondering, when I was trying to decide if I was going to go to the game or not, because I had just gotten in from a flight from Vegas. I was thinking, I asked out loud, I was like, does anybody know if Rose is going to play tonight? And people were like, oh yeah, that's who he's going to make his comeback against, not the Heat on Wednesday. I was like, well, they probably want to get an easy game in before to make sure everything's structurally sound before they put him up against LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of how these things generally go.
It's going to be a fast-paced playoff intensity game. The Heat are obviously, I would say they're probably playing their best basketball of the season.
Sure.
Having won, although that's what's weird. Wouldn't you say that they've actually played better this season? Like, they just happen to be winning these games. Like, they played the best that they have.
I thought they played their best basketball this season when LeBron was hitting 60% of his shots every night for whatever that was, that six or seven straight games, and they're still winning. But I wouldn't say it's their best.
I was looking because we've got a as part of a massive prep. By the way, if you want a little insight inside baseball about basketball sports writing. Pretty much every editor in the known world is demanding that their writers write extensive features on the Heat to be prepared in advance of them breaking the streak or when the streak ends.
Yes.
And we're no different. So we have like all these things that are quote in the can, which is stuff that we've pre-written.
And some writers have even misread the email and just posted it anyway.
Sources say
that I may have done that.
Sources say Zach Harper may not be able to read emails effectively.
No. Sources say I may have written that at like 1 a.m. last night and gone to bed with it like ready to post and then thought like, oh, I have to have this up before the afternoon. Well, I have a meeting this morning that I'm going to, so I'll just post it right now.
And then the editors are like, by the way, he didn't mean for us to post them now.
Right. Like, just so we're all on the same page. Nudge, nudge.
Right. Just so everyone knows.
Right. Just so Zach is clued in on this whole process.
It's like a Knicks meeting with J.R. Smith. Now, we don't want these type of shots.
Right. It's like, now, we all want to, like, look at this Chris Copeland shot. Hey, J.R., wanted to talk to you about something.
J.R. had himself a good game last night.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but the numbers look good.
He was getting to the rim, and that's helpful. And
that's what you want to see from him.
Guess how long it took for someone to say, oh, so who's your sixth man of the year now?
I would say about a quarter.
I literally, like, as soon as the Clippers game ended, Jamal Crawford had a bad game immediately.
Yeah.
I got JR has more rebounds, assists, and then somebody said he was more efficient.
Oh, boy.
Jamal Crawford.
Oh, boy.
I just wanted to die. Like, seriously, Twitter makes me want to die sometimes.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
And so yeah, but anyway, JR had a really good game last night. If he plays like this the rest of the season, the Knicks will win the championship. He's not going to play like this at the end. Mavs game was entertaining.
I only caught the last 2 minutes, but that was a hell of a finish.
Chris Paul, like, it's so crazy that there's times when Chris Paul is just like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and score now.
Yeah.
And then you wonder, but here's another thing that bugs me, and I know that there's reasons behind it. I want a coach to explain it to me because I don't think it's idiocy. But it's like, okay, you've been trapping him and sending the double to him at half court, which has proven to be the most effective crunch time tactic against him dating back to 2009.
Yeah.
The Nuggets actually did that against him and just were like, you know what? We don't care. Like,
right.
Anyone else, it's fine. Anyone else can shoot a layup. That's okay. Not Chris Paul. Chris Paul doesn't get the ball. And then they went away from it and they went to trying to guard him one-on-one with Matrix. And, you know, Sean's not 28 anymore. And so he got blown by and he hit a great – man.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Marion actually played pretty good defense.
He let him get the edge. Just
he got the first. I mean, he got lost on the first step, but I don't know. Everyone's like, oh, he just abused Marion. I was like, I don't know. He's right there with him. Just one bad step.
I feel like you have to defend to the edge.
Sure.
To be able to because he's so good at the English off the glass.
Yeah, but I mean that is he hit a very tough shot. It's just
he's so good at that, man.
He's Chris Paul. Like he can do that.
That high off glass floater is just. I mean,
yeah.
I always think back to the one he hit over his shoulder behind behind him in 2008, which is the most amazing shot I may have ever seen.
People will freak out about this, but it's I feel like the only floater off the glass that I've seen that's better than that in probably like the last 15 years is Stephon Marbury. Yeah. Like Marbury had that shot perfectly, and Chris Paul is like pretty much at that level with that shot.
Paul may have the best floater in the league right now, I think.
Yeah, well, Tony Parker would probably be my pick, but it's a conversation for sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, we talk, you know, I, this is not to say this is indicative because it's not. It was interesting to me that, you know, I've been talking about how, hey, at some point teams are going to say, we're going to make Matt Barnes beat us. And the Mavericks definitely did that. And Matt Barnes definitely did not beat them.
That was one of the funniest shots I've ever seen.
Well, he missed it twice because he missed they ran off the three-point line and he missed a pull-up jumper as well.
Yeah.
And it's one where – and this is maybe this is the tipping point for them because Jamal you kind of have to live with. Like he could have hit that pull-up 30-foot three.
Yeah.
Jamal's hit that before. And whether if he's sitting there or if he's not, you just kind of have to live with it. Like they played it right and he missed it and so it worked out for them. But he could have very easily hit that. I do feel like, and they were talking about this on TNT last night, and I don't tend to go for these very simplistic things, but Blake Griffin is going to have to be more assertive.
I know there's concerns about free throw shooting with him, but he's got to be involved more.
Yeah. I also feel like he's so quick, there's a good chance he's going to get the shot anyway. That, if he hits the and one, then it's like, okay, even if he misses the free throw, it's fine.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And he is so good at finishing through contact, not just on dunks, but just on crazy acrobatic shots, like the one that got waved off. Because did you think he pushed off on Dirk Nowitzki enough to warrant a foul?
I did.
I did too. A lot of people were complaining to me in the timeline, in my timeline, about it, but I thought, no, that's pretty legit.
Yeah, you gotta. I mean,
the shot he hit was crazy.
Yeah, it was really nuts. I just think that I really feel like they're gonna have to a couple times if they send that double, if they trap Paul at half court, he needs to pass it to the wingman, and the wingman needs to go immediately to entry for Paul. That needs to be the set Griffin. Like, yeah. He needs to post, because his post production has been really good this year, both
from phenomenal.
The eye test and the metrics support that he's got a good post game now.
Yeah, he's really incredible in the post, and the thing with him is he's so quick at attacking in the post. Like, he doesn't give the defense a lot of time to rotate over once that post entry pass has been made.
And he's a good passer, and so if they bring the double on him once he gets into the lane, if he does that one-handed kick out, then you've got, preferably even Willie Green, as much as you just like him. You've got Willie Green or Jamal Crawford or Chauncey Billups or Grant Hill. You've got somebody on the perimeter that isn't Matt Barnes to hit that shot.
Well, even if he's passing it to Matt Barnes, most of the time defenses are going to rotate immediately. So, and Barnes is pretty good at moving the ball off that line, as long as you remind him that he's Matt Barnes.
Right. But, and maybe he'll hit that shot, because he has hit a lot this season. And that's got to be, I think, got to be the recipe for their success. It's not that I don't like the idea of going to Paul. I think it's one where if they bring one-on-one coverage, or they just try and do the standards, if they do, especially because teams are going to do this because they're idiots, if anybody does the switch on him, you let him do that every single day. And the pick and roll, if they do the switch, you do it every single time.
Oh, for sure.
And by the way, I'm working on a four-point play for tomorrow, working on Dwight Howard's defense. If it's a 3-6 Clippers-Lakers matchup, if the Lakers do manage to climb over Houston and Golden State, that's going to be a big, 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 big problem. Dwight Howard's pick-and-roll defense is bad.
Yeah.
It's a major concern, and it's looking at it, it's not just his mobility. The effort is terrible. He's literally just surrendering any sort of mid-range shot that they're going to give, and Paul will kill him with that.
Well, I agree the effort's been bad, and the execution of it all has been bad. I wonder if that's a product of, because we talked about this much earlier in the season, like maybe December, they were getting killed on defense, and I thought he was actually playing good defense for the most part on these pick-and-roll situations. It's just that the help defender was never dropping down, so they're getting killed inside.
And there's a couple plays I'm pointing out where the other guy doesn't help, and he points and is like, what are you doing?
Right, but my point is, I wonder if that has shaded his mind enough to where now he is unsure. And when you're unsure, it can look like you're not putting out enough effort.
And that's a good point, because one of the things that really confused me is there are a lot of plays where they're not even going for the pull-up jumper. They're literally doing the hesitation dribble, seeing that he's playing back, and then going at him.
Yeah.
And he's, like, just kind of watches them.
Because what's funny to me is there was a game within the last month where the Timberwolves were visiting L.A., and the Lakers ended up winning by, like, 20. But there was a stretch where Rubio just abused Kobe and Dwight in the pick and roll for like three or four straight possessions. And it was something where I'm like, I love Ricky Rubio, but good God, this is Ricky Rubio. Like, make him hit a pull-up jumper. Like, do something. And it just, like, the effort was so bad. And maybe they didn't care because they knew they were going to win the game. But that was an alarming point for me, where I was like, Dwight, you can stop Ricky Rubio in a pick and roll.
You're like, I have him tattooed on my chest, and I'm telling you.
Like, trust me, I'm gonna be telling someday the stories to Ricky Davis Rubio Harper that his godfather that won't recognize his existence once did this stuff. Can we talk about Ricky Davis real quick?
Oh, let's talk about Ricky Davis. I actually said. I was talking to people on Friday. I was like, oh, we got to remember stuff for me to talk about with Zach on Monday. And I was like, obviously we need to talk about the Ricky Davis quotes.
Yeah, I had no idea this existed. And I know it's 2 months past my birthday, but That was the best birthday gift I've ever had. What was that quote?
Chris Thomason at Fox Sports Southwest, who does a lot of big features on especially players that are older, talked to the members of the 2003-2004 Cavaliers and to take a look at what their thoughts were on where LeBron started from and where he is now, and to look at the progression from, you know, the overhyped rookie to actually was adequately hyped, but the hyped rookie to the best player on the planet.
Right.
And it is a really fascinating piece, and it had quotes from his coaches and former players and teammates, and just the discussion of how he was treated because of the hype and the resentment that he got from teammates, which really must have been tough for him as a kid. You know, to be 18 and have your teammates resent you at 28, 29 years old, that's a really bad environment for anybody to be in.
Right.
And, you know, so I can imagine how that was rough, but the best quote of all came from Ricky Davis.
God, it was so great. He said, I'll paraphrase here. Well, no, I'll just read the straight quote. I thought LeBron James was just going to be another addition to help me score. That is the most Ricky Davis thing you can imagine. I have written about this. I think I wrote about it on HoopSpeak maybe last year or maybe the year before, but it was kind of like a, I started out with like the first half of it was basically saying like phrasing like, I'm a Ricky Davis alcoholic. Like I recognize like this is my plight. I love Ricky Davis and it can be a problem. And then I just turned like halfway through. I'm like, no, screw you guys. You guys should love Ricky Davis. This guy's incredible. This guy was all entertainment all the time. And you know, there's the triple double in which he throws it off the opposing backboard or rim to, and Deshaun Stevenson just fouls the crap out of him after he did that. You know, he's had many a fantastic shooting night a la J.R. Smith that we love to talk about in here. But, like, Ricky Davis was just the most self-involved guy of the last decade who should have been a really good player. Like, he's actually super talented.
You realize that he and Antoine Walker were traded for each other?
Oh, God. It's still one of the best trades of all time for both parties.
And it's just, you know, I'm just amazed that, you know, anybody can really have, you know, you have to be aware of the people talking about LeBron and what he was capable of, even at high school, and know, like,
yeah.
This is, you know, and it's one where, he could have not been it, but to think going in, he's going to help me score.
Like, the ridiculous or not, the comparisons were being made, because LeBron coming into the NBA, they're like, oh, this guy's going to be a point guard. He's going to be like a 6'8 point guard, much like Magic. Like, he was getting Magic Johnson comparisons. Now, you can think that's ridiculous. It probably was at the time, and it probably is still kind of ridiculous. It's not really the same player. They just are both tall guys that like to pass. But the comparisons were being made. And maybe that's why he thought he was going to be the Kareem to LeBron's Magic. I don't know what he was thinking, but I'm just glad he admitted it.
That's one that we're going to remember forever and just reference. And
I'm going to get it tattooed on my shoulders.
I really hope that you and I both get to go to Summer League because I am getting you drunk and getting you like 3 tattoos.
Seriously, I have always thought like I'm not opposed to getting a tattoo. I just don't know anything that I would ever want forever on my body, you know?
Right.
That I could live with and celebrate.
I found a couple of Moses Malone quotes that I want, including like, give me the action. That was one of the We in the Mud, though, from Zeebo, maybe another one.
We in the Mud's fantastic.
I get on. So I'm on tonight, predictably, and there are 28 teams in action. Not an exaggeration. I got another 14 night.
Yep.
I really got to look at the schedule before I make our schedule.
Well, I think it was a matter of home games, right? Don't Royce and I have a home game?
Yeah, that's true, too. That's
yeah. You just keep getting the raw end on these Wednesday nights where they're like, hey, the Timberwolves should be at home. Hey, the Thunder should be at home. Hey, Matt, you should be at home.
You should be at home in front of your television with your child screaming.
Right.
That's the problem. I have like a cord to rip video, and it allegedly, reportedly, and so it like reaches down from my television, which is in over my fireplace, and to my couch. Well, it's like having a limbo thing for my child who keeps wanting to run into it.
Yep.
And if I put down the computer, like I just see the computer flying across the room and he runs into it. And like, oh God. Because on the one hand, you're like, oh God, is my child okay? On the other hand, you're like, okay, the child's okay. My computer!
You essentially booby-trapped your house like Home Alone for your child.
Kimmel said the other day that in Skyfall, that's kind of, she made that comparison. She said the end scene of Skyfall was basically a Home Alone ripoff. And she was kind of right. So anyway, the Jazz are favored by 11 versus the Suns tonight at home.
11 is a lot of points for a struggling Jazz team, but I definitely like them to win.
Suns are terrible. Suns are bad on the road. The Jazz are good at home. This would be two in a row for them, so it would be a really good win for them to... Or I guess it would not only be one in a row because they lost the Mavericks game, but...
Right.
This one would be a good one to kind of stabilize themselves. They need to get this one. They've got to beat these teams that are bad.
Yeah, this will push them back to 500. I think they would be a game... Well, they'd be a half game behind if the Lakers lose.
Yep.
Which they probably won't. But you just got to pile up wins at this point.
In game of the night, Bobcats are favored by 3 over the Magic.
No.
Hornets are 6-point underdogs versus the Clippers at home.
Oh, you called that Hornets game.
Clippers are, this is a dangerous team. They're at home. The Clippers are on back-to-back. Can the Hornets really, I'm going to do this and I'm sorry, can the Hornets sting 3 playoff teams in a week?
They Pelicant? I don't know if I feel worse about mine or yours. No, probably mine. Mine was pretty bad. I would go...
They'll never make it out of this game a hive.
Oh my god. No, don't laugh. I can't believe you did that. People have already deleted this podcast.
Just permanently.
We could just swear as much as we want the rest of the way. Nobody will ever hear.
They blocked us on Google. Global filter on TweetDeck. This line was high to me. The Thunder are at home. They're favored by 13.5 over the Wizards.
Wizards have been good. Really good. They're like 5 games over 500 with John Wall.
And it's only a 199 over under.
Yeah, I like the Thunder to win. I like the Wizards to cover.
Yeah.
Well, here's the only thing I can think of. The Thunder lost to the Wizards earlier in the year. It was actually
I thought about that too.
It was the game before John Wall came back, actually.
Yeah.
And that could be a little bit of a revenge factor, because I know Kevin Durant was pretty pissed about it.
Yeah.
He seemed pretty pissed and was like, yeah, we just didn't come out with any fire and blah, blah, blah. And like, we took them for granted.
It opened at 12 and now it's 13.5. I'm wondering if Nene's got something.
Yeah, actually, I would take the Thunder to barely cover.
I took the Thunder to cover just based off of, I didn't want to get into this is overly complicated. Like, okay, when I start going down the wormhole, I'm always like, who's the better team? Okay, go with that.
Right.
Your Timberwolves are 4.5-point dogs only. It's down from, they opened at 5, it's 4.5 points right now. They're at 4.5-point dogs at home. Dogs, get it? Well, to the Lakers.
That sounds about right to me. I would pick them to probably lose by like 6 or 7. Just as like free throws at the end. Because I actually do, I mean, they played the Pistons last night, so, you know, take that with a huge silo of salt. But yeah, they do actually just look better with Chase Bunger on the court. And I know that sounds really homeristic. But, like, the spacing is just so much better. And when the spacing...
I think it's totally reasonable. Chase Bunger's a really good player, and he's the only guy on that team that can shoot.
Yeah, I almost swore there. They made 14 threes last night. 14! Season high! I didn't know that was legal.
You know, they're 16-17 at home. They're 14-29 versus the conference, which is obviously not good, but it's better than their 3-10 in the division.
They have lost 21 straight games to the Lakers, by the way. 21!
That's a lot.
That's officially a lot.
That's officially a lot. Yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers, it makes me nervous. I feel like the Lakers are so uneven right now.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to expect from them.
They've had a couple of bad ones in a row, and that's why I think that they'll definitely win this game. And it, I like 4.5. Yeah, I think the Wolves lose by like 7 or 8, 6, 7, 8, something like that.
The Raptors, they opened as a pick 'em, and now they're 3-point dogs to the Hawks.
That sounds right to me.
Atlanta's, they've come back to never trust the Hawks.
Something we didn't talk about the other night was Roy Hibbert was really pissed off at his second and third stringers.
Yeah.
That was fun, actually. I like that. I know I'm a bit of a Roy Hibbert homer.
I feel like Hibbert's going to have a big playoffs, and everyone's going to be like, oh.
Right.
Because everyone's really jumped on he's terrible, and his post numbers are his post numbers are so bad, I can't believe them.
Yeah, and Tim Donahue had something earlier in the season talking about the wrist injury, and his post numbers are so bad that I got to believe that it was that.
Oh, I did this last night. I looked at, via Synergy, I looked at per game possessions for Dwight Howard in the post. And he's averaging 7.7, which is the second most in the league behind Dwight Howard. He gets the second most touches in the post behind Al Jefferson, rather. Wow. So you can't say that he's not getting those post touches that he wants.
Right.
What's amazing is of everybody that averages more than 4 post touches a game, he has the second lowest points per possession of anybody.
Well, yeah, because if he gets fouled, he doesn't make free throws.
He's just, you know, and in the pick and roll, he's still terrific. It's just amazing that he is unable to grasp how he needs to play.
And isn't it more fun to run towards the basket and dunk on somebody than to hit a half hook?
Bingo. I don't know what's wrong with me today.
That was your only acceptable joke of the podcast. We're 30 minutes in.
Better late than never. The motto of the Los Angeles Lakers. Better late than never. The Houston Rockets are 4.5-point favorites at home versus the Pacers tonight.
Pacers do. They're a little touchy on the road. How healthy are the Pacers for tonight's game? That's my question.
That's a good question. Because they were missing West and a bunch of other guys, and Lance Stephenson and a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, did George Hill even play the other night? I don't think he played.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would probably go with the Rockets.
I don't understand why the Rockets defense can't get it together, because I really like all of their pieces together. Like, I like this team the more I watch it.
Yeah.
Do you want me to wait until the end of the season to give you crap about Thomas Robinson after he's going to be good in a week, or do you want me to do it now? It's up to you.
However you want to overreact. That's up to you.
But you said a week.
Yeah, and after a week, he was shooting 56% from the field. He's shooting 51%. Like, he's become a decent option if he has the ball.
The Blazers are favored by 2.5 points over the Nets tonight. That's an interesting line to me. They're at home, which is, of course, Chaos Engine.
He's averaging 11 and 11 per 36.
Are we gonna come back to this?
I've never left it.
Why do you think he's not getting time?
He's a new piece. He's a rookie new piece. Two-thirds of the way through the season.
He's getting 14 minutes. He's averaging 12 and 11 with 51%. Do you feel like he's making a demonstrable impact?
Absolutely not. But he's doing decent.
Okay.
I think he's decent. Good may have been a stretch, but I don't think he's been bad necessarily.
He's hit 23 of 45 shots.
Yeah, that's a huge sample size.
Right. Fouls are kind of an issue still. He's still fouling.
Yeah, that's going to – I mean, I expect that with a rookie big man.
Interesting.
Not saying that it's necessarily acceptable. I just – it's kind of expected, right?
Yeah. I like the Nets on the road versus Portland.
You do like these Nets right now.
I don't know why. It's not like I like their overall concept. I feel like they're in a place where they're beating teams. They found kind of – I feel like they've stabilized. They're going to beat teams that are worse than them, and they're going to lose to teams that are better than them.
Yes. I agree with that.
Because, like, the Pacers aren't that right now. The Pacers are losing to teams that they're way better than.
Yeah.
And then – not necessarily beating teams that are better than them because there aren't that many, but they're at least beating some teams that are in their tier.
Yeah, they're like comparable.
Yeah. And then they lose to, like, the Raptors and the Celtics. And
right.
Just crazy stuff. They lose to weird teams. It's weird to me. I don't really understand why the Pacers are having – like, it would seem to me that their defense – I know – well, I think part of it's the offense. Maybe that's, like, the new kind of thing because you see the same thing with the Grizzlies. Those two teams are really comparable. And the Grizzlies lost to the Wizards in part because of John Wall went nuts, but also because the Grizzlies, like, their offense is so bad that, you know – their defense has to be perfect in order for them to win sometimes.
Right, and a lot of their offense can be generated from just what their defense does. And, yeah. And in a game like that, you know, John Wall's hitting pull-up jumpers. Well, that doesn't really give their defense a chance to do what it's supposed to do.
Transition. Yeah. The Cavaliers are 2.5-point dogs to the Celtics tonight. Cavs are at home. Celtics are on a back-to-back. No Kyrie, no Waiters, no Varejão.
This feels like a trap. For the viewer.
No KG for Boston, who were just sad last night.
I didn't watch the game, but I did follow my timeline for a little bit as I was cooking dinner. And people just seemed appalled at what Boston was doing.
There's just, you know, Rondo would make the team make sense. KG would make the team make sense without both of them.
Yeah. It's asking a lot.
There's no order or reason. It's just a bunch of guys doing things. It's just a bunch of dogs chasing cars.
Right.
You know, and Pierce just isn't at that place anymore. And we got to accept that. He's going to have a huge playoff game. That's
yeah,
what he
can have flashes, but he just seems so sloppy with the ball. And maybe that's because he's forced into more of a playmaking role than he's used to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't trust him handling the ball right now.
You know, he had 16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and that Jordan Crawford had 6 turnovers. He was 14 points on 11 shots. You know, when you're relying on, when Jordan Crawford's starting, it's not good. And then Avery Bradley did another weird tweet after the game. He got in foul trouble early. He finished with 2 personal fouls, and they never really stuck him on Smith for some reason. I don't understand. There wasn't a whole lot of...
Even if he's in foul trouble, I just feel like you trust him. He's such a good defender. Yeah, he gets away with a lot, but he's such a good defender. You got to go with him.
Well, he's going to lob off all those perimeter drives. He's going to continue the perimeter penetration, and then the only thing is, you know, can he not foul J.R. Smith on contested mid-range jumpers? If he can't do that, then yeah, he shouldn't be on the floor.
Right.
That's obviously not who he is.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, Terrence Williams played 22 minutes for them last night.
That's rarely a good thing in the D-League.
Jordan Crawford and Terrence Williams combined for an hour worth of minutes last night.
I mean...
Yeah. That's not
good. Now I feel bad for Boston.
Yeah, right? It's just not good at all. And Courtney Lee was out, too. I mean, the Wolves had a worst injury year, but the Celtics have to be the second worst.
Excuse me?
Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, I would put Minnesota in there.
No, I said the Wolves.
I thought you said the Bulls.
No, the Wolves are the worst. The
oh, okay. Yeah.
The Bulls are probably third, I would say.
Yeah. I like that ranking. Yeah, that's correct for sure. Yeah, the Celtics have been decimated.
That I actually want to note, like, I have unbelievable amounts of respect for Joakim Noah this season. That guy's played through plantar fasciitis all year.
That is not an easy injury to play through.
And he's been a monster. I mean, yeah. Joakim Noah is one of those guys I 100% want on my team. He's just, if I had the opportunity to, I would want him on my team every single time because he's so tough.
Yeah.
The Warriors are favored by 9 over the Sacramento Kings at home. Kings have been kind of pesky lately, but I really don't like this matchup.
You don't like the matchup for the Warriors?
The Kings.
Oh, for the Kings? Yeah, no. They should be. That should hold pretty true. Warriors should blow them out.
It feels like all the Western teams, and knock on wood, I feel like all the Western teams are hitting their stride at the exact same time.
Yeah.
There's not a Western team outside the 8 that is really struggling. The Rockets are playing well. The Warriors are starting to get their stuff together. They're playing really well. I'm excited for them. The Grizzlies, Nuggets, and Clippers just refuse to fall back. Like, nobody can get a hold on the division or on the 3 seed because everyone's playing so well. And then when one of them loses, they all lose.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then
it's
you get the
worst
Spurs.
Game of rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, and like the Thunder we talked about yesterday are having one of the most dominant seasons in terms of differential, and the Spurs are obviously, you know, this monster that just wins games constantly. I was looking at this last night. It may take 56 wins to get the 3 seed.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, because they're at 47, 48, 49 respectively from 5 to 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds about right.
Yeah, you need, you know, the Nuggets have 49 wins and they need 7 more out of their remaining 10 to get the 3 seed.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, meanwhile, you got Oklahoma City, which is already at 53 wins, or San Antonio, which is already at 53 wins. It's just ridiculous. Somebody did mention that the 2011 Mavericks got the 3rd seed with 57 wins. That's pretty nuts. The Sixers are favored by 1 at home versus the Bucks. This is actually kind of this one is not entirely meaningless because the Sixers are not 100% dead.
The Sixers are favored?
They're favored by 1 at home.
Did Joe Alexander make a comeback from Milwaukee?
Vegas hates the Bucks. I'll tell you this. Vegas does not like the Bucks. I'll have to look up what the record is. I'm pretty sure it's not good against the spread. I've noticed habitually the Bucks are given pretty terrible lines. I think a lot of it has to do with their point differential is really bad.
Yeah, but I mean the Bucks probably win that by at least 11.
Wow. You know, it's surprising. I want to say that because I think the Sixers are terrible, but they keep hanging with teams. I don't know how, but they do.
I don't like that at all. I think that's crazy.
You think the Bucks win in a walk?
Oh, easily.
Milwaukee is 31-38 against the spread this year.
Yeah.
And
what's Philly?
33-36.
Yeah, about the same.
I'm looking at something real quick. Here's notable. Milwaukee is a road underdog. Is 15-11 against the spread.
God, so they're just bad at covering at home? Jesus.
Home favorite. Let's look. Yeah, they're 6-10 as home favorite.
Jesus.
Yeah. Not a dominant crowd there in Milwaukee. Another game of the night, candidate, if it weren't for the heat streak. The Knicks are, it opened at 1.5 favorites for the Knicks at home versus the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are now favored by 1.
Marc Gasol magically back?
Not thinking so.
Yeah, I think I like the Knicks at home there.
My question is, can JR have back-to-back good games?
No. It's unlikely.
But I don't know. They don't have anybody to guard Melo. Tayshaun's going to get killed.
Yeah, Tayshaun, he's a step slow.
Oh, wait, Melo is so strong. That was really on display last night. He is so strong.
That's one thing I noticed when they were here recently, is that unless you see him in person, you don't realize just how physical of a player he is. Like, he is slamming into guys. He is pushing guys around. Like, he really is one of those sneaky, strong players.
Yeah.
And when you talk to other players trying to defend him, they just talk about, like, what a bull he is, like, how physical he is.
I mean, I like the Knicks' three-point reliance versus the Grizzlies' defense. I like the Grizzlies' defense there, and I like Mike Conley guarding Felton.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
That's a good match. That's a really good matchup. Conley should be able to. Conley's turned into a great defensive player.
Oh, yeah, I think he's one of the best defensive point guards in the league, easily.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Like, he's like one. Like, he's like probably like 2 or 3.
But they're going to need Darrell Arthur to hit a lot of mid-range twos tonight.
Yeah, I just don't know that I trust. I mean, the Washington game could have been just completely fluky because the injury just happened and now they have time to adjust, but I just don't know that I trust the defense to be as solid on the perimeter when they don't feel like they have the backup, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's really what his ability, like, Zeebo's ability to rebound the ball and Marc Gasol's ability to just be everywhere defensively is what unleashes Tony Allen and Mike Conley on the wings. And do they still feel that same confidence to be aggressive? I don't know.
And then the other game with huge implications tonight, the San Antonio Spurs are favored by 6 at home to the Denver Nuggets. Lawson is still a question mark.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about it. George Karl has not liked the way that team's played the last 3 games. The Spurs should win this game. But maybe I don't know, maybe it's a little relief now for the Nuggets that they don't have the streak going anymore. They can just concentrate on single game by game without like the buildup, because teams and players do feel that.
I just think San Antonio, I don't like Denver's rotation defense on the perimeter against San Antonio. Yeah, I feel like they just, you know, it's not that they're bad, they're just not quite good enough.
Right.
You know, and you have to overplay the corner pass so much. And while they've got guys that are really great at intercepting passes, they usually intercept them. This is like really nitty gritty. I've noticed that the Nuggets intercept a lot of the passes. They try and pick them off at the point of catch versus try and catch them in midair, rather.
Right.
The Grizzlies do the opposite. They're aiming to try and get in the path of your pass, whether it's a bounce pass or a chest. They're trying to intercept it in midair versus trying to get it when you catch. And the Nuggets are trying to close out on you and disrupt the catch at the same time.
Right.
And I feel like there's going to be a lot of faking that and then taking the three. And then they can really hurt him that way with Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. So I like the Spurs there.
Yeah, I think I like the Spurs too.
It's a monster slate.
That's a lot of games. I'll be at one of them though. So that helps.
Go in that Lakers locker room. I want to know what this thing's like.
Oh, definitely. Don't even worry. Don't even worry about covering the Laker game. I got it.
Okay.
Royce has got the other one. You just have 12 games to worry about.
including Miami going for a record.
Right. That's all.
Yeah, we'll see if they hold on. Gonna be an interesting one. So.
And hey, if you get a chance, listener out there, I did write something on the progression of the Heat since 2011. That
so good.
Thank you. I was pretty happy with it. I was also very sleep deprived, when I wrote it at 1 a.m. last night. But I don't know. I think it turned out pretty decent.
Yeah, definitely check that out. We'll have some cool stuff for you this week about both the Heat streak and. You know, I've got some features coming up, and we'll have some interesting stuff. Playoffs are coming. The Heat are winning. It's an exciting time, Zach. It's
winter is coming. Game of Thrones, sponsor of CBSSports.com right now. Winter is coming.
Such a company man.
Oh. I don't know what episode of Two Broke Girls is on this week, but watch it. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, man.